Welcome into the VGK Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Chris Chapman, rolling solo here for the first hour. Darren Millard will join us in the second hour. Down here at the Golden Circle at the TI. Love this place, but we are broadcasting from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas on the 215, home of the...
I love it.
Jared Justice back in the studio, and
I'm going to get some water.
Yeah, I think you need some. Jared on his way to go grab a glass of water. Make sure there's a lid on that water, by the way, Jared. Don't want you to be yelled at by the higher-ups at Lotus Broadcasting. One of those things that happens from time to time. But nonetheless, I'm down here at the Golden Circle TI Sportsbook. I love this place. Like I said, I come down here every Saturday during football season, myself and my broadcast partner, Lindsey Brown. She was with me yesterday. She'll be with me tomorrow for the finale of the Vegas Golden Knights regular season. And last night was a fun one. Golden Knights defeat Chicago Blackhawks by a score of 3-1. Myself and Darren, we will get into that a little bit later. Not a ton of hockey being played today. At least not any games that really have any consequence to the Golden Knights, with the exception of one game. And that is taking place a little later tonight. And that's the Dallas Stars and the St. Louis Blues. It's going to be a 6:30 puck drop for us. And you may ask yourself, why is that game of consequence? Well, what it would do, a point by the Dallas Stars in that game will clinch the number one spot in the Western Conference, meaning that the Golden Knights would only be able to play the Dallas Stars or the Edmonton Oilers in the first round. The Vancouver Canucks clinched the Pacific Division last night with their, I'll say they beat down the Calgary Flames in some epic trash talk in that game. I believe it was Philip Broberg talking trash across the bench to the Calgary Flames, saying, "You guys are going to have holidays in 2 nights." So Canucks getting themselves in postseason form. There's a guy who just walked by me in a Ween t-shirt. I think you have to be real geeky to know the band Ween. But I know the band Ween. I like the band Ween. And Sam and Ash, I think just Ash, will drop by at 4:45. Vince Sapienza from Fox 5 will join me at 4:30. We'll hear from Bruce Cassidy. The team had a practice at T-Mobile Arena today. It was photo day out at the Fortress, and so lots of good stuff going on there, getting ready for the postseason. But I'm interested in hearing thoughts from the listeners. I want to open up the phone line, 702-876-1340. You can hit me up on the text line. I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and I want you to call in and tell me a couple of things, because I feel like we have some questions that need to be answered as we go into the postseason. We can start with who's in net to start game one for the Golden Knights. Is it going to be Aiden Hill, Logan Thompson? Logan made his case last night. I thought he played exceptionally well, and he seems like he's been dialed in, especially at home the last couple nights. So is he your guy? Are you going to go with Aiden Hill? He's probably going to get the start tomorrow. It sounded like Bruce Cassidy tipped his hand in the postgame presser last night, saying Aiden is expected to be the starter tonight, obviously, or tomorrow night. A lot of things can change between now and then, but if all things go according to plan, Aiden Hill will get the start tomorrow night, which makes me think it's going to be Aiden Hill in game one, because it seems like Golden Knights are going to play Tuesday from what the tea leaves are telling me. Nothing has been confirmed, and maybe Darren Millard can shed a little more light into that, but you know, that's one of the questions. The other question is, Bruce Cassidy in his media availability yesterday afternoon said that no one has been ruled out for the postseason. So I want to know who comes out of the lineup, because I feel like there's a lot of questions that we could ask, and a lot of different options there. And what do you do with Alex Pietrangelo when he comes in? I talked to Dan Duva about that last night, and I tend to agree with Dan. I love the idea of having a decor where each pair has Alex Pietrangelo on one pair. Shea Theodore on the other pair. Noah Hanifin on the other pair. I like the idea of the three of them being split. Although if Braden McNabb keeps scoring goals like he did last night, maybe we'll have to start talking about the offensive juggernaut that is Braden McNabb. But want to head out to the phones right now. We're going to bring in Mike. And I talked to Mike last night, but different set of questions for you tonight, Mike. How you feeling after last night's win?
Yeah, little role reversal here. I want you to beat me up, and I'll answer as best I can.
All right, so who's going to start in net for you?
Wow, I watched practice, as you know.
Yeah, you're there every day.
Every single day.
You and Goldie. You and Goldie.
Thank you. Thank you for the plug on Goldie as well.
Listen, I'm a dog guy. I love dogs. I've got two myself, so...
I know you do, and I wish you'd come up someday and say hi. This season.
I may bring the poodle one day in the postseason.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, Goldie is obviously an institution, as I try to be, watching practice. And the thing I watch when I'm at practice is I'm down at the end that has Logan Thompson playing net. And so I don't get as good a look at Aiden Hill's efforts. Now, Aiden is very tenuous in terms of his health and well-being. And that, in saying that, you should see Logan practice. He practices like Marc-Andre Fleury.
He practices like he plays.
What's that?
He practices like he plays.
Yeah, he practices like a madman.
There's a lot of intensity. Yeah, there's a lot of intensity in the way he practices.
And Fleury just got a contract. I wanted to note that. For next year, I couldn't believe that he actually signed for another year. I really was shocked. But congratulations to him. But see, Logan is more prepared to start game one. Now, what I told you last night still bothers me a great deal. What if a guy gives up five goals in a game? Does he get replaced right away? I don't like that idea.
Well, I think in that case, it may depend on the circumstances. You know, what game is it? Is it game one? Are they up 2-0 and it happens in game three? You know, those are questions that I'm glad I don't have to be the one to answer. Look, Bruce Cassidy, he's going to earn his money this postseason. You know, last year was great, but I think he's really going to earn it this year because there's so much. I think the thing is, like, I joke, there was a saying in the 90s, and it was more money, more problems. The Golden Knights are in that situation. They have the more money. So that leads to a lot of question marks when you've got all of that at your disposal. You've got guys who are going to have to come out of the lineup who are NHL players. You've got...
And that leads you then to the next question that you'll ask. Who in the world comes out of this lineup?
Right.
And I'm not exactly comfortable with the idea that you make mistakes and you sit on the bench and think about it, like a Michael Amadio, for instance.
Yeah, but look at the response you got from Michael Amadio last night.
Yeah, and then I go back to that, see? That's exactly right. I go back to the response that Coach Cassidy gets when he does that, and I can't do anything but praise him once again for being a genius. Yet I feel really bad for the guy who seems to make a mistake here and there and then gets benched for a game or two. You know, Alec Martinez, you know, maybe didn't play at his level normally, and then he sat on the bench.
Right.
And will he be good moving forward? Is Paul Cotter possibly the kind of guy that can be fit into that lineup? Now, that's something I have to ask you. If we play Edmonton or we play Dallas, does Cotter fit more against one than the other?
Well, he's a physical player, so I lean towards him maybe being better suited for the Dallas series because of the way he plays. That's a team that's going to bang you. You know, Jamie Benn is obviously... the one that we think of, and for obvious reasons last year in the postseason, but they've got other guys. You know, they're a big team. They've got Tanev now on the blue line. Mm-hmm. That was their big trade line acquisition. You know, but I think ultimately, Mike, I think Paul Cotter, I love Paul Cotter. I think he's a great conversation. He's a fun guy to root for. But I think at the end of the day, I think Paul Cotter is going to end up on the bench during the playoffs. I think he's going to be watching with me.
Yeah, he might well be. I just am afraid that is the situation he has gotten himself into. And Pavel Dorofeyev, let me tell you, no nicer man and set of parents, because they come to practice when they're in town on a visitor's visa.
Oh,
and
that's
they're
great.
They're so nice. If you ever get a chance to meet the Dorofeyevs, anybody listening, they just couldn't be nicer, but they can't understand a word you're saying. That's the problem. And so now you have the ability to speak Japanese, but I think Russian is a bit of a stretch even for you.
I know a few Japanese phrases. I wouldn't say I know how to speak Japanese, but Mike, the last question I have for you, and what do you do with Alex Pietrangelo when he comes back? Because Elliot Friedman, I think it was, reported the other day that he's pretty close to returning, or about, he wasn't expected to miss an extended period of time. And I'm thinking, well, he already missed an extended period of time. But we are going on the hope and assumption that Alex Pietrangelo is ready for game one, whether it be Monday, Tuesday of next week. So where do you slot him?
Well, two quick things. I don't want any more of this shenanigans about Manta is a little banged up. We're going to give him a day or two off. And then all of a sudden he's gone for the entire playoff. Pietrangelo may fit into that category. When a guy is physically ill as opposed to injured, that's a whole different ball game.
Right.
That's different. And we can't begin to know how weak he is right now.
Right.
I hope he's not. I hope that come Tuesday or Monday he's ready to roll again. But I really don't think he is. And that's going to be a conjecture and a study that's going to be made on him by coaches, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think, you know, Mike, thanks for the call. You know, I think whatever it is that's ailing Alex Pietrangelo, I mean, and first of all, you know, my first thought is hopefully he gets well soon, because, I mean, I think I told a story the other day, maybe I didn't on this show, but, and I don't have any insight as to what Pietrangelo is dealing with, but I can speak from my own experience that I caught pneumonia once in the summer of 2014, and I can honestly tell you it was the worst 6 weeks of my life. And I don't know if that's what Pietrangelo is dealing with. I mean, I hope not, because it's awful. In fact, I recently found out someone I went to high school with, she passed away from pneumonia. So it's a pretty serious thing to be dealing with. But I caught it, and I was in my early 30s at the time, and I dealt with it for 6 weeks. And it sucked, because I couldn't sleep at night. I was coughing basically 24 hours a day, and it was that heavy cough. So I can't imagine going out and playing a sport and dealing with an illness that's lingered for weeks now. But hopefully, you know, like I said yesterday on the show, I did see Alex on Sunday afternoon leaving T-Mobile Arena. He was with his family exiting, so he was in attendance. I have no idea if he was there last night or not, but I think the idea that he was at the arena with his family is probably a pretty good indication of where things are. So Stephanie tweeted in that she'd put Logan Thompson in net. And I think that's where I'm leaning as well. Look, I think if you're the Golden Knights, you're in a position where you are quite happy with the fact that you have two goalies who are, I would say, pretty equal in terms of what they bring. Now, two very different styles. Logan Thompson, he's intense, and I like him. He's a bit like Spider Monkey in net. You know, it's funny. There's a sumo wrestler named Tobizaru, and in Japanese, Tobizaru translates to flying monkey. And every time I watch Logan Thompson play, I can't help but think of Tobizaru, the flying monkey, and He's a fan favorite. He's actually really good. He's a really good sumo wrestler. I'm not saying that Logan Thompson is a sumo wrestler, but Spider Monkey, Flying Monkey, Tobizaru. I think maybe that will become my new nickname for Logan Thompson, the Flying Monkey, Tobizaru. But I'm leaning that direction as well. But I like the ability to – I mean, look, if you're a team, there's very few teams that are in this position. The Boston Bruins are in this position. They've got the ability to play two goalies and win with either one. Florida Panthers don't have that. I think you could look at other teams around the league and you can question whether or not they have the ability. I mean, if I'm the Edmonton Oilers, who I think are going to be the first-round opponent for the Golden Knights, my goalies right now are Stuart Skinner, who we know is, he's their number one guy. But Calvin Pickard, Golden Knights legend, Calvin Pickard. I always like to joke about that. But, it's funny because I think they're in a situation where maybe they can get by with two, because I think Calvin Pickard is a decent goalie. Not a great goalie, but I think he's pretty good in that if Edmonton plays a good game in front of him, they can win. But you look at Nashville. You've got UC Saros, who always seems to be in the conversation for the Vezina Trophy. Then you got Kevin Lankinen. If UC Saros is not on in that series for Nashville, they're not winning. They're not winning that series. It's just the way it is. I mean, I don't care how well they play in front of Lankinen. He's not UC Saros. Tampa, Vasilevsky, great goalie. One of the greatest of all time and one of the greatest big game goalies of all time. I couldn't even, I'm venturing the guess, most fans, most average NHL fans, couldn't name the backup goalie for Tampa. It's Matt Tompkins, by the way. Carolina, another contender. You look at their goalie situation. You've got Freddie Anderson and Pyotr Kochetkov. Maybe Spencer Martin, who knows what their status is. But I think that's a big question mark for them. The Golden Knights are in a situation where they've won a Stanley Cup with Logan Thompson, or I'm sorry, with Adin Hill in net. But Logan Thompson was an all-star last year. So I think it's a good situation for the Golden Knights to be in, where they can play either or in net, because I think the way they play, it's a very goalie-friendly system. And I think if either guy is off, you don't have to worry about playing the other guy. Got a text from Sarah. She says, just occurred to me, I'm listening live. Yeah, hi, Sarah. You are listening live. But she says that she agrees. Logan Thompson should have the net to start the playoffs. He's been the hot hand lately. I feel like, look, Adin Hill played pretty good on Sunday against the Colorado Avalanche. One of those goals was on him. And it was the first goal. And it was a bad goal to give up. But he settled in, and he played well after that. I don't think you could blame him for the Cale Makar goal, because it was just a laser point of a pass by Nathan MacKinnon to set up Makar, who had a missile that he put in the back of the net. And then the Mikko Rantanen goal was just a great play. I mean, he found himself in the right spot, and most goalies aren't going to make that save. So I don't have too much of an issue with the way that Adin Hill played in that game. I think you're in that situation where you can go either direction. As far as what I would do with Alex Pietrangelo when he comes back, I think there's some real questions here. Because, first of all, you have the power play question of, do you play two defensemen on one of the units? And I think maybe you do. And I think you do that on the second unit, because I think I want Hanifin out there with the top unit, Marchessault, Hertl, Barbashev, and Eichel. I don't want to take any of those guys off that unit. But when I look at the second power play unit, I like the idea of Nick Waugh, William Karlsson, Shea Theodore, Alex Pietrangelo, and then you have an assortment of guys that you could put in there, whether it's Chandler Stephenson, Anthony Mantha, Pavel Dorofeev. If Paul Cotter's in the lineup, you could put him in there. So I like the flexibility there. As far as my pairings, I think we've seen Nick Hague in the last six or seven games really make major strides playing with Hanifin. By the way, I don't know if you noticed it last night watching the game, but I thought it was pretty noticeable. But Nick Hague really amped up the intensity, and he was a lot more physical last night. There was a play where Connor Bedard had his head down through the neutral zone, and Nick Hague knocked him on his butt. And look, that's getting into the playoff mindset. The physicality ramps up. Everything really picks up in terms of the speed, the hitting, the checking. Look, and Connor Bedard, great young player, and he'll learn, keep your head up, because Nick Hague could have crushed him, and I think he pulled up a little bit and didn't hit the kid too bad. But I like the idea of keeping him and Noah Hanifin together. And look, I'm putting this out there into the VGK universe. Noah Hanifin, at some point in his Golden Knights career, is going to be in the conversation for a Norris Trophy. He's that good. He is. I'm the first to admit, I didn't really watch a lot of him when he was in Calgary. I mean, I'm not sitting down on the television and watching Calgary versus San Jose on a Tuesday night, or Calgary against the Panthers, or Calgary against Ottawa. I only watch Calgary when they play the Golden Knights, or if there was nothing else on. They played Edmonton, I'd watch the games. But watching him now live for, what is it, about 15, 20 games since he's come over, he's amazing. He's his passing, his ability to move the puck out of the defensive zone. There's so much to like about his game. And I think Nick Hague complements him very well. Because with Hague, you also have to keep it in the back of your mind that he's got that sneaky slap shot. And we don't see him unleash it a lot. I wish we'd see it more, because I think it's a real weapon. But much like Braden McNabb, Nick Hague has kind of taken on the mindset of, I'm going to be a long-time NHL player being a defenseman. And when the offense shows up, it's great, and we love to see it. But I think there's other aspects of Nick Hague's game that he concentrates on. I'm not breaking up Braden McNabb and Shea Theodore. I'm just not doing it. I don't think, first of all, these guys have played together for 7 years, on and off at times. But the trust that they have in each other, the way that Braden McNabb is able to command the ice when he's out there, and then the ability of Shea Theodore to skate the puck through the zone, put the puck in places where only his guys can score, they complement each other really well, which leaves me with Alec Martinez and Zach Whitecloud. I don't know if that's the pairing that we'll see in game one, but I might lean towards Ben Hutton going out there. Now, I think certainly as a playoff competitor, you love what Alec Martinez brings, but you have the option of playing Ben Hutton, Zach Whitecloud, if you need to. But I think Whitecloud will find himself on the bench, unfortunately. I love Zach Whitecloud, but I just think that given the options, I think he's the odd man out. And Ben Hutton was the healthy scratch last night. We saw Alec Martinez in there. And I think I'm leaning towards Ben Hutton, but I wouldn't be shocked if it's Martinez and Pietrangelo to start on, whether it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Monday, I don't know. But it's a good problem to have. It's a very good problem to have if you're the Golden Knights. As far as my forwards, I'm not changing my top line. Jack Eichel, Ivan Barbashev, Jonathan Marchessault. So these guys have gotten it done in the postseason. Both of them could be, all three of them had tremendous postseasons. Eichel could have been in the conversation for Conn Smythe. Could have won it. It went to Marchessault. My second line, I like Tomas Hertl, but I'm leaving Pavel Dorofeyev in for now. I'm going to go with the assumption that Chandler Stephenson will be back for game one of the playoffs. So I think I would have Stephenson maybe on the wing with Hertl and Dorofeyev. Gives you a lot of speed, but it gives you a guy who can get to the center of the ice and park himself in front of the goalie and dare someone to move him out of the way. My third line, I like what Michael Amadio does, but I think if Anthony Mantha's available, I think he's playing. And my fourth line, I want William Carrier back in. And I like the option of Brett Howden there, but I think Brett Howden stays on the third line with William Karlsson and Anthony Mantha. But there's options. There's a lot of options for Bruce Cassidy. And I guess we will find out soon enough, because I think tomorrow night is really your last dress rehearsal for what counts. I mean, you get that in the preseason and you roll it over into the regular season. But tomorrow night's not a preseason game. Tomorrow night is your last opportunity to really tinker with things if you have to see what works and what doesn't. We saw Bruce Cassidy mix the lines up a bit last night when that game was scoreless in the second period. And I think there was, not that the Golden Knights were playing bad, but I think it was just, let me see how this guy plays with that guy. Let me see how that guy does in this role. And tomorrow night, we may see more of that. Golden Knights take on the Anaheim Ducks tomorrow at T-Mobile, final preseason or final regular season game. And it's fan appreciation night. So the Golden Knights, of course, I think they've only lost once their final regular season home game. So get out there. If you haven't been out there yet this season, your last chance to see them in the regular season before the real season starts. We're going to take a break here on the VGK Insider Show. Chris Chapman filling in for Ryan Wallace. Vince Sapienza from Fox 5 is going to join us after the break. So stick around, and we'll be right back.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM.
Ah, Jared bringing the, what do you call this, EDM? I don't even know. I'm too old. Welcome back to the VGK Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Chris Chapman filling in for Ryan Wallace. Much-needed R&R before the playoffs start for Ryan. He should be back on Monday. And if not, you'll have me again. So I apologize in advance if you're stuck with me. But Golden Knights finish up the regular season tomorrow. They host the Anaheim Ducks out at the Fortress. Final regular season game, final home game before the playoffs start. We're still waiting to get the schedule for when the playoffs will start, who the Golden Knights will play. We don't know yet. We could have a little bit clearer of a picture tonight, although we won't know until tomorrow for sure if the Golden Knights are going to play one of three teams, although I would say that the ability to play the Canucks is very, very small. It's a minute chance. So very likely Edmonton or Dallas. But joining us now on the phone, does a great job for Fox 5 here in Vegas. And by the way, if you don't watch Fox 5, you should, because they do a bang-up job, really, with their sports, because they've got Kevin Bollinger, who seems like he's all over with the Raiders, Paloma Villacana, who is all over the Rebels, and Vince Sapienza, who's all over the Golden Knights. He's out there every night, it seems like, covering this team and bringing Vince Sapienza from Fox 5. How you doing today, man?
I'm great. This kind of feels like the last quiet before the second grind, right? The second season grind begins. But it's exciting. It feels like the team turned a page after they clinched last week, and there's a different vibe around the team right now. A calm confidence going on right now that feels eerily similar to that of last year. So it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, now, something that really stood out to me was, I think it was Ken from Sinbin who asked Bruce yesterday at the end of his morning media availability if anyone was going to be out for the playoffs. And Bruce said, nobody has been ruled out for the playoffs. So if you are the Dallas Stars or the Edmonton Oilers and you hear that soundbite from Bruce Cassidy, I can't imagine you're thrilled thinking that there's a chance that William Carrier, Alex Pietrangelo, Chandler Stephenson, Anthony Mantha, oh, and by the way, Mark Stone, might all be available for Game 1 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. How do you think that news was received in faraway places?
Yeah, well, more specifically, the question was, has anybody been ruled out for Game 1 of the Stanley Cup playoffs? And it was a pretty confident no. but so that even furthers the point. Yeah, I mean, if you're one of those other teams and you're looking at that, I think you feel the way just about every fan base in the National Hockey League does. You're like, well, here we go. We're playing a super team, right? I mean, that's essentially the feeling around the league when it pertains to the Golden Knights and how people are viewing what's happening. We're not going to get into the nuances of the salary cap and all those things. The Golden Knights aren't and have not done anything that they're not allowed to do. That being said, what will be available to them, I think it's pretty exciting from a Golden Knights fan, from a Golden Knights point of view. I mean, Mark Stone, I think anybody who's been at practice has kind of been watching him like a hawk in terms of, like, how does he look? How is he moving? What's the – I mean, he looks great. He looks good. He was taking, those fourth-line D pairs with Ben Hutton yesterday during morning skate. So, the hips were working, the legs were moving. You know, it's pretty exciting if you're a Golden Knights fan to see what he's doing this week, knowing what's around the corner. And, when you look at who the first-round opponent could possibly be, and everything seems to be pointing to Edmonton at this point, while nothing's done, I mean, that's a big piece to have against a team like that with the offensive power and all those kinds of things. So, to answer your question simply, the rest of the league hates it. I don't care who they're facing. If you're a medieval maniac, you're feeling pretty good right now.
Yeah, something that caught my attention recently was Mark Stone was out doing a charitable event, the Children's Cancer Charity, last week. My thinking is, generally when you're out doing public events like that, you're pretty close to being able to skate and join the team again. Maybe I read too much into that, but at least that's the way I've always kind of looked at things like that. When you're sending a guy out in public, he's getting closer. But that leads to the question of, and I'm going to throw the hypothetical at you. If Bruce Cassidy has his full cast of characters and he's got his full complement of players, I don't know how you make the decision on who sits and who starts Game 1 against whoever it is, Dallas, Edmonton, Vancouver. I mean, my gut says Mark Stone is in there. After that, I think all bets are off.
Yeah. Yeah, it's talk about an embarrassment of riches. I mean, Bruce was asked that a few days ago, assuming everyone's healthy, like, how do you go about, and he smiled. He's like, just the thought of it, put a smile on his face. But, if you look at it, and what did the Golden Knights do so great last year? Like, what set them apart is their fourth line, right?
Right.
Pretty hard to envision, assuming everyone's healthy, that it's not Carrier, Waugh, Kolesar. To start, it's kind of hard to point that out. What Marchessault and Eichel did in the postseason last year as a duo obviously speaks for itself. You figure they stay together. It's been interesting with Ivan Barbashev. Obviously, he's not coming out of the lineup. But in the last two games, we've seen him move to different lines
right.
And have success. So, I mean, you talk about just, again, the different options that are available to you. Pavel Dorofeyev may be the Golden Knights' best player in the last five games or so. I mean, this kid has been absolutely unbelievable, and he didn't see any time last year. So, I mean, he's basically fought his way to a point where I don't think he comes out of the lineup either. So now you're looking at the Amadios, you're looking at the Howdens, you're asking questions about guys who are big, big parts of their Stanley Cup run. Those two guys in particular scoring overtime goals along the playoff run that may be healthy scratches. I mean, and Anthony Mantha, I know he was in the red non-contact sweater today, which, I guess he's getting closer in terms of a return based on whatever his injury is. But, I mean, you talk about a guy they picked up at the trade deadline specifically for this postseason run. So a ton of options. And then you throw Hurdle in there. Hurdle has looked fantastic at the center position.
Yeah.
Specifically the last three games. He has looked darn near dominant in the faceoff circle. And the net front presence, we're going to hear that every time his name is brought up. But, I mean, it's a real thing. I mean, the difference that the Golden Knights look like on the power play with a true net front presence guy that you just cannot move. I mean, the Golden Knights are going to do what they did last year, is be able to attack teams in waves. And that's what made them so successful. And, again, assuming health, assuming guys are good to go, that's what teams are going to have to deal with again this postseason.
Yeah, you know, a couple of things you mentioned there. Ivan Barbashev, he's been moved around a little bit. He played a little bit on the fourth line, I think, against Colorado. But last night, he was out on the ice for that Brady McNabb goal. He was playing with Tomas Hertl and Pavel Dorofeyev. And by the way, Tomas Hertl, you mentioned the net front presence. That Brady McNabb goal, which might have been one of the prettiest goals that the Golden Knights have scored all season, it doesn't happen without Tomas Hertl parking his butt in front of Peter Mrazek, because you heard Bruce in the post game last night. I don't think anyone on the ice knew where that puck was other than Brady McNabb. And I think for Mrazek, he was shielded by Tomas Hertl, and he could not find the puck. McNabb scoops it up and does the spinorama.
Well, first things first, I feel like Braden McNabb is good every year for one just absolutely insane-looking goal.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember a couple of years ago, he went far down against L.A. from a super sharp angle. I mean, McNabb's got some skill. He likes to lay the lumber and throw the hips around. But, I mean, he's got some sneaky skill. So that was awesome to see. But to your point, Tomas Hertl is an absolute fire hydrant in front of the net. And, you know, covering him from afar, obviously, with San Jose, you never really realize how big this guy is.
I mean,
you know, going up to him in the locker room and things like, I mean, he's a massive individual.
He really is.
So that really bodes well, obviously. That's playoff hockey, right? I mean, a big center goes to the dirty areas and has skill. I mean, that is, Kelly McCrimmon is looking like a genius more and more as the days go on, especially as Hertl takes shift after shift. But, yeah, Barbashev's an interesting guy. Obviously, he had a lot of success with Eichel and Marchessault on that top line. And Barbashev really activated. Like, his game really got mean in the playoffs. And we've seen it, obviously, in spurts during the regular season. He can't play that way through 82 games. But in the playoffs, specifically last year, I mean, we saw, like, a snarl and a mean, just kind of real angry-type way of playing when he was on that line. And that's what kind of opened up space for Eichel and March, so especially as they flew in the neutral zone and different things like that. So, man, being able to move Barbashev around, we've seen him have chemistry with Nick Waugh when it was Nick Waugh and March, so when there was different injuries. We saw, again, very limited, but we saw some success last night with Hertl and Dorofeyev. I really like the Carlson-Dorofeyev pairing. Personally, I think they work really, really, really well off each other. Figure, you know, Mark Stone, he comes back. Man, what could that guy do with Tomas Hertl on a line? You know what I mean? So you look at the pairings, because that's how Bruce really looks at lines. He tries to get a pairing. So you got Eichel and March. So Hertl, Stone, and then, you know, Dorofeyev and Carlson, and then you have that fourth line. Man, that is a scary, scary looking lineup. And we haven't even talked about the defense. Yeah. You're going to have to scratch two guys that
we're on your on the ice for the Stanley Cup, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really unbelievable. Vince Sapienza from Fox 5. Vince, what's coming up on Fox 5 tonight?
Well, Fox 5, we've got all your Golden Knights needs, all your fixes from the day, practicing at T-Mobile Arena after their team photo, and, you know, Hockey in the Desert Weekly, which airs every Tuesday, 1 o'clock on Fox 5. We are going on the road with Hockey in the Desert. We don't know where that road leads next week, Chris, but we will be on the road, and Hockey in the Desert will continue as long as the Golden Knights run continues this summer. So, I mean, we got a lot of stuff in the can. Really exciting stuff that we're going to be debuting next Tuesday for our playoff coverage, and we're pretty excited about it. I'm more excited to see where we're going. I wish we had an answer today instead of having to wait till Thursday
tomorrow night,
especially
yeah,
with the Kings having that 7:30 puck drop. But what can you do?
I hear you. Hey, just make sure you got that passport ready to go, because you might be making a couple trips to Canada.
it is locked and loaded.
All right, man. Hey, thanks for jumping on, and I'll see you out there tomorrow.
Appreciate you, Chris. Thanks.
All right, that was Vince Sapienza from Fox 5 here in Las Vegas. Does a great job. And like I said, everyone over at Channel 5 does an incredible job in their sports department. Big shout-out to Robbie, the camera guy. He's the busiest. I think he's the hardest-working camera guy in town. I mean, he is everywhere. But we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We got Sam and Ash, the Legal Minute, coming up. Here it is, the VGK Insider Show on Fox 5 Las Vegas. Or Fox Sports Las Vegas.
It's time for the Legal Minute with Sam and Ash on the VGK Insider Show.
All right, being joined now by Ashley Watkins, Chris Chapman out here at the Golden Circle TI Sportsbook, and bringing in Ash from Sam and Ash Law. And how are you today, Ash?
I'm great, Chapman. How are you?
I'm pretty good. You know, I'm out here at the Sportsbook. They've got the great fish and chips special. You get to keep the glass when you're done drinking your Alaskan Amber Ale. So, listen, I'm a big fish and chips guy. So, for me, this is a great place to come and watch some games. They've got about 50 televisions in here. And we've got a couple basketball games. No hockey games on here right now. But, there is a hockey game. I have to turn my head a bit to see it, but I can now see it. But couple really interesting stories this week. And the one that really caught my attention, and it caught my attention because I know someone I grew up with, actually. She was there at this Astroworld concert, the Travis Scott. There was basically like a stampede at the concert. And next week, rap star Travis Scott's request to be dismissed from a lawsuit over the deadly 2021 Astroworld Festival in Houston will be heard. He headlined the concert in which 10 people were killed as authorities and festival organizers responded to a massive crowd surge and tried to shut down the show. Performers are not expected to render special protection to the audience, nor to safeguard from the rest of the crowd, the motion said. Performing artists, even those who engage in certain promotional activities, have no inherent expertise or specialized knowledge in concert safety measures. So I got to ask you, first and foremost, what would be the reasons for filing the suit against the performer and the venue?
Well, okay. So first of all, what Travis Scott's lawyers are trying to do is obviously represent him to the best of their ability, and that's getting him out of the line of fire of any potential judgment. So when you're a victim and you've gone through this, the lawyers representing you are trying to go after anyone and any entity that may be held responsible for the injuries, loss of life, et cetera, that you or your loved ones sustained. So what's going on right now is there's a host of defendants, Travis Scott's included. I believe previously there was Drake and a few other individuals were performers and defendants, and they've already been dismissed. So right now what's happening is Travis Scott's lawyers are trying to say, look, he's not responsible for the damage that was caused. He was simply a performer, and even though it was his tour, he was just a performer, had no obligation or role to provide security or crowd management at the festival.
And that's really interesting because, I mean, if you've seen some of the videos, looks like there was a little bit of egging on. And I had seen some previous videos from other concerts of him kind of egging the crowd on to basically create this commotion and push forward. So in this case, does someone like Scott have his own insurance policy in addition to the insurance the venue has to provide? And if not, should he have to?
You can't really require someone just to carry individual liability insurance. But, you know, it's wise. I often advise celebrities, high-profile individuals, to carry a personal liability insurance policy to cover you. God forbid, you know, you're walking down the street, you trip and fall and hit someone in front of you, and they realize who you are, high-profile person, and they might sue you for whatever injuries you cause. So I would expect that Travis Scott has a personal liability policy that covers him. I would expect his company, his performance company and entertainment company, they have their own policies. The critical issue is here, the difference here between him and Drake, who is a guest performer, is Travis Scott was the one on the stage at the time. And like you pointed out, he's been known to incite these types of riots or crowd rushes, stage rushes. So there's a unique position there, an argument to be made that he does bear some personal responsibility for what took place.
Yeah, I think what I've learned from this, and like I said, I have someone that I grew up with graduated high school with her. She was there with her son, who was like 16 or 17 at the time. And, you know, she's a nurse, so she knew pretty quickly what was going on in the getaway. But what I've learned from this is a lot of the stuff I used to do when I was young, you know, whether it was at concerts or, you know, things like that, weren't exactly the brightest idea to be in the middle of a massive mosh pit, because there's a lot of things that could go wrong. But, Ash, got to let you go. I appreciate you jumping on, taking some time to really go through this with us. And where can people find you?
Oh, they can find me at samandashlaw.com, or if you need a phone call, 702-820-1234. We're available 24/7. Always fun talking to you, Chapman.
Yeah. No food this week, but maybe next time.
Next week, we got it. Food.
All right. That was Ashley Watkins, one half of Sam and Ash. Check them out. We got to head to break. We'll be back with Darren Millard on the other side of the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.